for tuning in to Dr. Gina's radio chat. What a blessing it is today. Today is Wednesday, September the 8th. So glad to be with you all today. Listen, this is the best day ever because you know why? You're listening to Dr. Gina's radio chat every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, you guys, we got a fantastic show today. We have Tony Winters joining us, director, producer, actor. You've seen him in some of everything. He's amazing. I can't wait to do his interview. We have Ministerial Moment, and Amado is coming with us with Fitness and Five. So I'm excited about that. So listen, we're going to take a sponsorship break, and we'll be right back with Ministerial Moment.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I'm so excited to share with you my third published book, In the Weight of Every Loss. In the Weight of Every Loss, I share revelation God gave me concerning the scripture, Hebrews 12 and 1, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. In the Weight of Every Loss, I'm being completely transparent about my own struggles I endured in my personal walk. Serving in a leadership role as an ordained apostle, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is not always easy. So if you are called into leadership or are actively in a leadership role right now, In the Weight of Every Loss will expose the real work of the enemy. You will be encouraged to regain your strength again and return back to the will of God. In the Weight of Every Loss is for those in leadership struggling to maintain strength. It is for those who truly want to walk in truth and for those who are no longer willing to live in a lie anymore. Get in the weight of every loss.
All right. Today, you know, I always give inspirational messages and things like that to help encourage people and stuff like that. But I want to talk to quitters today. I just really want to talk to the quitters. You know, I don't think a lot of times people want to address that, but there are just people that you can encourage and encourage and encourage and talk to and coach and promote and help and invest in that just don't have the grit to do what would seem to be the impossible. They just don't have it in them. They don't have the fire. They don't have the desire. And you're just pouring in and motivating and encouraging and talking to and praying for and sacrificing for, and they just don't want it, you know. So I want to talk to you about, why don't you just don't do it, okay? Maybe it's not something that God is predestined for you to do. Maybe it's just something that you don't have a heart for. Maybe it's just something that you just simply don't want to do. People say they want to do stuff all the time. They come into, they get it motivated and excited by a motivational speaker, or they go to church and get inspired by the preacher and his words, or, you know, they see their friends doing it, or they see somebody on Instagram doing it, so they want to do it too. But then when they have to sacrifice, and when the pain gets really intense and they have to persevere and they have to, you know, sacrifice and make some tough decisions or not do something that everybody else is doing, then they don't want to do it no more. So you know what I say? Maybe it wasn't meant for you to do at all, because I believe that if something is for you to do and it's in you to do it, it's been predestined for you to do, you're going to get it done. You're going to go all the way in. You're going to make it happen. You're going to sacrifice. You're going to blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to grit it up. You're going to do what you have to do, suck it up to get it done. And I just believe that, you know, what I want to say is, may the people that really have the perseverance in them rise up. This is a season and time for you to rise up and just trust God to really do it. If you believe that it is your destiny, if you believe that you've been predestined to do this, then you need to just go ahead and rise up and do it. Get it done. You know, these type of things, when you going for destiny, when you going for what is predestined, it's not for the weak, it's not for the wimps, it's not for the crybabies. You got to get some grit, suck it up, and do it. If you get a closed door, believe for an open door to open right after. If you don't have enough money, believe that provision will happen. Pray for favor. Pray for you know, provision, pray for endurance, pray for a miracle, pray for supernatural, pray and believe, you know, God will help you through it. I mean, you see so many success stories. Do you not understand that people had to go through to get there? You know, there's birthing pains. There's, you know, nothing just given to people, you know, and if success stories have a testimony behind it. People were sleeping in their cars. There were people that had to, they didn't have no money, no income. They pursued their dreams. They worked at, you know, the cleaners or as a waitress or, you know, whatever, just a car wash to just get money just to eat or just to invest just a little bit in their dreams. I mean, people have sacrificed, you know what I'm saying? And people see the outcome of everything, and then they want things just handed to them. They don't understand the behind the scenes. You know, there are behind the scenes. You know, there's tears that were shed. There was times when people wanted to give up. There was times when people didn't want to eat nothing. They couldn't sleep. You know, it's times when people turn their backs on folks, you know, but yet people don't understand. They say they want something, then they want somebody to give it to them. So I want to encourage those that just don't have it in them, seek God to see what else there is for you, because nothing is going to be just given to you. You know what I'm saying? You know, even with people saying they got businesses, one minute they in it, then the next minute they fall off. You don't see nothing on Instagram no more, but they want somebody to invest in them. Consistency is everything. That's perseverance. Perseverance, consistency, and grit. If you don't have none of that, you know, then you might have to seek on what it is that you have to do for you. You know what I'm saying? What is there for me? Where is my passion at? What is it that I am destined to do? What did God call me to do? Not what everybody else is doing, not what I think would be great, not just to make money, but what is it that is in me that will manifest outwardly, that will leave an impact on the world? You know what I'm saying? Where it will gain visibility or income or whatever. You know, I just really want to ask you the tough questions, and that is, what is it for you? You know, because like with anything else, it takes consistency, it takes sacrifice, it takes perseverance, it takes work, diligence, okay? Because no matter what comes your way, nothing's going to steal that dream, that vision, that purpose, nothing. I don't care how many times you cry. I don't care how many times, you know, you scream and how painful it is. You know that the outcome is rewarding. So I want to encourage you today, those that have given up multiple times, those that can't keep and stick with one thing to see it through, those that just don't have it in them to press through and think somebody just going to give them something. Listen, I want to challenge you today to really seek within yourself. If you don't believe in God, I would suggest seeking God. But if you don't have God as your faith source, then I would seek within and see how far that gets. But I would just find out what it is that I have to do, what it is that I'm purposed to do. And I promise you, if you get on the right track, you will have that passion and that diligence and that will to succeed. That goes for weight loss, fitness, that goes for career changes, entrepreneurship, to acting, to music, to whatever. You have to have the grit, the desire to win and succeed, and nothing should stop you. You know, that's, you know, again, you know, I could tell you a laundry list of stories of how many times I wanted to quit and could not. You just can't. It's just something in you that you just can't. And you don't need somebody telling you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You got this, you got this. It's something inside, you know, that makes you want to continue to go for it. I mean, even if you don't have nothing to go for, your business plan is done. You know, you got your graphic designs. You know what your logo look like. All of these steps, you got a website. You know, what are you going to say in an elevator pitch? Do you have your elevator pitch ready? You know, could you sing a song on a drop of a dime? Could you rap and say some bars at a drop of a dime? Could you act in a drop of a dime? Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, so that's what I wanted to talk today in ministerial moment. Be encouraged about that. Seek within and see what really your purpose is. And if this is pricking you, then good, because it should. You know, if it's motivating you and saying, "Whoa, thank God, because I thought I was the only one going through, but I can't quit. I got to keep going," then praise God for that. But this is a self-inventory situation. Far too many people are just trying to just be like everybody else, and they just don't have what it takes. I'm just being honest. You know, as soon as somebody say something wrong to them, then they want to throw in a towel, get mad, and just don't want to do it no more. You know, many people that has inspired me said a lot of things that I didn't like, that I wasn't ready for, but I needed it. I needed the tough love. I needed the truth. So that's what I'm bringing today. Good morning from Dr. Gina's radio chat. I love you so much. I want you to win. I want you to be on the right track. I don't want you being distracted by something that's not even for you. Get in the lane that you belong in and win. That's all I got to say. No matter what it is, it could be multiple things. You never know unless you can. Like, I never knew that it was multiple things that God would have me to do. And until I took that one step when it was impossible, people would think that, wow, she's crazy. I don't know how she thinks she's going to do that. How's she going to do that? When's she going to do that? I got testimony and supernatural intervention and supernatural divine appointments and things like that. Only God could have did it. And then after being consistent in one thing, even when it was hard, even when it was tough, I didn't know where the income was going to come from. I didn't know who was going to, you know, he was going to send the help to do it. I didn't know how long it was going to last. He kept adding on stuff. It was promotion after promotion after promotion. And I'm still in the wait. Even though people may look at all of the things in my bio and my resume, it's still so much more that I'm believing him for. And every level from going to glory has been a challenge. I'm in a challenge right now. That's why I'm saying this, because I feel like somebody else needed to hear this. Either you're going to be consistent or just don't do it. You know, it's one or the other, you know, but every time you stop, you got to start back over again. So just let you know that it doesn't just, you got to start all over again. So it's like going around in a mountain over and over again. So I encourage you today, do the self-inventory, look within, find out what it is your purpose to do, and really just live off that passion. Live off of it, because it's going to see you through some very hard, challenging days and times, you know, because it's not easy. You're climbing a mountain. You're trying to get to the top, you know, wind conditions, rough, you know, ground. I just imagine climbing up a mountain and how rough, you know, got to find the right one to pull up on and find the right one to step on. I mean, you have to be watchful. You have to have discernment, all of that. But you can do whatever it is that your purpose to do. Just get where you're supposed to get and go. Because you're not going to always have a cheerleading squad, a pep squad for you. So I just wanted to say that to you. God bless you. This has been Ministerial Moment. I just pray that God will just, as you seek and have the quiet time, that God will minister to you, that he will direct your path, that it will be unto him that you do this work, this purpose, to do it pleasing unto him. And that you will be inspired by him, and that he will give you the zeal, the inspiration, the grit, the perseverance, and the endurance to see it through. Because you can do your divine purpose. It was fit just for you. Just for you. It's just for you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the thoughts and plans that God has for you. Okay, so I just want you to be encouraged by that. Okay, get the grit, be consistent, or just don't do it. It's one or the other. That's between you and God. But should nobody continuously have to pep squad you and cheer you to do what you believe you're supposed to do? Get it going and do it. Okay? All right. Love you. This has been Ministerial Moment, and you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. All right. We'll be right back after this commercial break with Tony Winters. Ah, so excited. All right. We'll be right back after this message.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince. One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Have you heard about the Life in the Spirit devotionals? Life in the Spirit is a collection of teaching devotionals that shatters the work of the enemy who attempts to hold you back from reaching your full potential. The first set is called the Solid Rock Series. These four devotionals help you build a strong foundation to stay rooted and grounded in Christ. You'll learn what it means to be a child of God, how to have the faith that moves mountains, how you can experience true freedom in Christ, and how to step into your purpose and destiny. The second set is called the Holy Spirit Series. These four devotionals help you build an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. You'll be guided into encounters with the Holy Spirit, learn to go deeper into His presence, understand and receive the Holy Spirit baptism, and learn to war powerfully in the Spirit. You get all eight devotionals from Life in the Spirit for only $30 plus free shipping. Save 80% now with this special offer. Go to lifeinthespiritbooks.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I am super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and He ministered to me, He put that in my spirit, health and soul. And He said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what He wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey. The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16, 19, Jesus tells Peter that He's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever He binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever He loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we can do the same thing. The Keys Against the Enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things that's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy.
I'm Hayes.
And I'm Henry.
And we're the Johnson of La Hoste Hair and Wig.
And you're listening to Dr. Gina.
Kingdom Talk. Where you going? You better not change that station. Come on, listen, tune up. You're listening
to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Don't go nowhere or you'll be square.
Oh, my God. All right, Tony Winters, welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Gina. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here because I know you got some stories to tell. I want you to inspire and just let's sit down and just have a couch conversation. I want to say, first of all, I'm just so thankful to meet good people. I met you on a set of 2 Degrees. You were directing that day. And that was just such a divine appointment, and so grateful to God that he led me there. And to find out that we're both from Detroit. And so, I mean, you're just so cool. And you were just like, hey, where are you from? Or, you know, what's your name? And you just were so nice and kind. And I want to say thank you for that, because that was my first time, well, my second time on a set like that. So it was great experience, and you helped it be a great experience. So thank you for that, Tony. I just wanted to say that to you publicly.
Well, I appreciate that. Throughout my career, and even before my career got started, when I was just kind of knocking around Hollywood and doing atmosphere work, you know, at the very beginning and that sort of thing, I don't remember anyone ever mistreating me or treating me badly. Everybody's always been very nice to me. And, you know, I've always tried to pay that forward. Plus, I'm a nice Midwestern boy at heart. You know, I'm a nice guy. For better or for worse.
You are a nice
that's
guy.
That's what I am. I'm a nice guy. It was a pleasure meeting you. You had a beautiful spirit and energy, and I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yes, I am too. And thank you for joining me on the show today, because I just found you so interesting. So, I mean, you've been in shows like Young Sheldon, which I've watched, Yellow Jackets, so many others. I know you some of the things you can't really talk about, but Shameless and all these other shows that you've been on, Showtime and Sticks. And so it's just so amazing where your career is at this time. And you are consistently working, which is awesome. And on these amazing, hilarious shows, too. And I love how you just kind of are able to adapt, you know, with your talent in every situation. I want to talk about, how did you know when you were an actor? Which one came first? Producing, directing, acting, which one?
Oh, how do I tell that story? First of all, acting. The short answer is acting. Growing up, when I did in Detroit, coming of age in the 1970s, there was a lot of black television. There was Sanford and Son. There was Good Times. There was That's My Mama, you know, so forth and so on. And also in the movies, there was a bit of a renaissance with respect to black film. Many refer to it now as the blaxploitation era. The Shaft, Superfly, you know, Sweetback's Badass Song, Slaughter, on and on and on. And I went to see all of these movies, and I watched all of these TV shows, and I just dug it. You know, I even more than my friends, I there was a part of me that thought I wanted to be a part of that world. I didn't know exactly how to get there or anything like that. Then I saw a movie called Coolie High. Starred Glenn Turner.
I remember that.
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs. And I refer to that as the boys in the hood of my generation.
Yes, and, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. And it was different from what I had seen on television. It was different from what I had seen, you know, in the black exploitation movies. It was a film with heart and soul, and I was so moved by it. But if you remember, at the very end, you know, they did this call which kind of told you what each person did, and Preach, the character played by Glenn Turman, went off to Hollywood and became a successful screenwriter. And here I am in a dark movie theater in Detroit, Michigan, at the Mercury Theater on Schaefer Boulevard and 7 Mile. And I thought, wow, you can do that? You know what I mean? That's possible for a kid from the inner city to go off to Hollywood and work in that field. And then I had never acted before, but I just knew I could. And this story is kind of long, but I'll try and put it in a nutshell, Gina. Between my junior and senior year in high school, my brother and I were getting in a lot of trouble. We were having brushes with the law, and my mom was kind of fed up with us. She put us on a Greyhound bus to San Diego, California, where my father was living at the time. So we ended up spending the summer with my father, and he was living with his brother and his brother's wife, my aunt and uncle, Marvin Garfield, and they had kids about our age. And my aunt Marva, she just, you know, embraced us, my brother and I, and just showed us Southern California. I mean, I saw the Pacific Ocean for the first time, palm trees, you know, blue skies, went to Disneyland, and all these, and I was just kind of blown away by it. And then she drove us to Los Angeles. And we had an uncle that was living here. We went to visit him, but she also took us to Hollywood. And, you know, I saw the Chinese theater that I had seen on the I Love Lucy show, you know.
Wow,
I saw the stars,
yes,
on the Walk of Fame. And it started becoming real to me. And I remember we were driving up what I know to be Gower now. And we were driving right by Paramount Studios. And they had this marquee up that said Happy Days, which you recall was a really big sitcom back in the late 70s.
Yes.
And I was thinking, wow, this is really real. Then she took us to the Universal Studios tour. And we took the tour of the studio, and I was mesmerized. I was like, this is what I want to do. I don't know how I'm going to get here or how it's going to happen, but I'm coming to Hollywood. And I guess that was six years later I did, after high school, after college. And I came here, and I just kind of hit the bricks and never looked back.
But you hit the bricks, Tony, with what? How'd you hit the bricks, Tony? Did you have a screen? Did you write something? Did you just,
well,
what?
I'm trying to nutshell these stories for you, but what happened was after high school, I moved to San Diego where my father was. And I enrolled in City College there, and I started taking theater courses, and I started acting in the theater in college and in the community. And I said, this is pretty much what I want to do with my life. And the last play I did in San Diego, I did about 10 or 15 plays, from Little Murders to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Spell Number 7, Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. And I always got all these wonderful glowing reviews in the newspaper. And I was like, I guess I can kind of do this, you know, and I hear they pay people to do this in Hollywood. So in 84, I moved to L.A. and I got a job as a tour guide at Universal Studios. And let me tell you this story, too, Dr. Gina, since you were asking about how I got started. So I came to L.A.
Know.
I had no SAG card. I had no union affiliation, you know, no agent, manager. Nothing, just a string of minor theater credits. And I was working at Universal, and I got asked to do the LTD. That's the last tram of the day. Nobody ever wanted to do it because, you know, things were shutting down. It was getting dark, blah, blah, blah. But somehow I got roped into doing it, and I'll go outside. And, you know, that tram holds about 250 people. And it was only a group of about 20, which was always a bummer when you had a small group. But there was a black man with a big hat and dark glasses, and he was with a large group of Asian men. And I did this, I just flipped the switch, and I decided I was going to do this tour like I was playing to a huge crowd. I told every joke, every story, every anecdote I knew. I just did it to the best of my ability. And when we got back, when the tour ended, the black guy walks up to me. And he's wearing his big hat and these dark glasses. And he says, man, I just want to tell you, you know, you did a really great job. I really, these men I'm entertaining, they really appreciated your tour. And I looked at him really closely, and I realized it was Leon Isaac Kennedy.
Wow. And
I said, man, you're Leon Kennedy, right? He says, yeah. And I said, what are you up to? He said, well, I'm completing this movie I'm working on. And I'm starting production on Penitentiary 3 in a few months. And I said, oh, well, if you're, you know, ignorance being bliss, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to ask this, but I asked it. I said, hey, since you're producing, maybe you can help me out. I'm an actor and I'm trying to get my SAG card. And he said, okay, just like that. And he gave me his home phone number. This must have been in March. He gave me his home phone number. He said, call me in June. And I called him on June 1st, And he brought me in to meet the director, true to his word. They cast me as a reporter in this movie. And I got a couple lines and I got my SAG card. And
that
was the beginning of my professional acting career. And I thank Leon Isaac Kennedy for opening that door for me. And, you know, I remember I told him when we were wrapping production, I said, you know what, Leon, one day, man, I'm going to be a producer and I'm going to hire you. And he said, you know what, Tony, don't worry about hiring me. You just do it for somebody else. And I've never forgotten that. Yeah. You know, they talk about this industry being full of backstabbers and that sort of thing. I haven't had that experience. You know, people have been kind to me. You know, that's not to say I've gotten every job or, you know, I got every script read that I've written or every movie produced. But no, people have been, on the whole, pretty good to me throughout.
You've had really a lot of favor. I mean, it's like you're just walking and you're just walking into each step. Like the way you were telling the story is like you just walked through. Like, you know what I mean? Like you just kept walking each step. You in each step, you took advantage of each step. And then you were moved to another step. And then you just kept walking. I mean, and that's, if you look back at your life and you say, dang, I just walked through. You know, it wasn't like it wasn't hard work and it wasn't downtimes or things like that. But when you think of each promotion.
There has certainly been. You know, We're going to talk about that,
Tony. Hold on, because we're going to talk about that, because I started off at the top of the show with that, because this, I need somebody else to hear you say from where you came and how you went through and walked on through, you know, even through the hard times and stuff, where you are now. I need people to understand that some of those steps wasn't always the easiest. But hold on, before you do that, I want to talk about first this SAG card. Let's not leave that hanging. A lot of actresses and people, actors, you know, they don't even know about the SAG card. And how do you get a SAG card? Do you need to go to college? Do you need to have, you know, acting training? Tell us about that. I mean, you did have acting training and stuff, but was that the reason why you got the SAG card?
No. You know, I as I understand it, and the way it's traditionally been is that you have to get hired by a SAG production in order to get a SAG card.
Okay.
And that is, in a nutshell, how it works. However, you cannot go to work for a SAG production if you have not been Taft-Hartley'd. Taft-Hartley was a bill that was enacted by Congress, I believe, in the 1930s. It allows people to go to work in a union field. It opens the door of the union to non-union members. So what you need done is you need to get Taft-Hartley to get into the union.
How do you do that?
Well, most people, this is what I advise young people, you know, on the come up or you know, people who aspire to do it later in life, the quickest way to get a Taft-Hartley is through a commercial. Commercial producers will Taft-Hartley you without issue. However, the chances of getting a Taft-Hartley on a TV show or even a movie in most cases is going to be really, really difficult. I think it's best to get it through a commercial. Because they do it every day. Advertisers, they want someone special or with a special skill set. You know, say if you're a little person and you know how to juggle, you get Taft-Hartley. Or if you're just the actor that they want, they will Taft-Hartley you. So that's usually the quickest road into getting your SAG card. And you know, there are people that believe that being non-union is better because it allows you to do more things. Well, you know, that's a double-edged sword. When you work union, you know, there are certain protections that are inherent in union work that are part of our contract with the Producers Guild. Also, you know,
You get medical and dental insurance if your earnings are high enough. And wow. Ultimately, you develop you get a pension from Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA. If your earnings are high enough over a specified period of time. So, when you're 19 or 20 and 21, you're not thinking about retirement at that point. But you know what? That 30 or 40 years goes by pretty doggone quickly.
Sure do.
All of a sudden you reach 60 and you're like, oh, wait a minute. And you see your friends from high school and college starting to retire and you're like, oh, well, I'd like to be able to do that too. But, you know, if you've been consistent, if you stayed the course, you know, you have a retirement, you have a pension coming from the two unions. And so I think it's important to get in the union as early as you can and to work as hard as you can at getting union work. Non-union work, you might make $5,000 for a day's work on a commercial doing it non-union. Well, okay, that's good money for one day, but guess what? That commercial could run for the next 3 or 4 years and you'll never see another nickel. Whereas if you had done a union, you'll never see another dime. That's the deal you make when you do a non-union job.
But then when you get in the union, you'll do what?
You do union work, which earns residuals. And that's an actor's lifeblood. You know, you have to have a residual income. And so, you know, instead of making $5,000 for the day, you made $40,000, $50,000 over the course of a year or two from that one day's work on a commercial. And that counts towards your retirement. It counts towards your health and health benefits. So it's, you know, I encourage young people to get into the union as fast as they can and to do as much union work as they can.
All right. Well, how do they find out to get to the union? How do you get to? You Google it. What do you do? Tell them how to get to the union.
Well, okay. I think what you need to do is you need to find an agent.
Okay, an agent. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I would find it. You know, get your pictures together, get your resume together. And go find yourself a commercial agent. And if you can, even a theatrical agent. Theatrical meaning movies and television. And even the professional stage. But, my focus for a young person would be get a commercial agent. They're easier to get. The numbers, they send out more people on auditions. And eventually, you know, you might go on 50 auditions before you book one. You might go on 100 auditions before you book one. But when you book, it's pretty damn sweet.
That's nice.
And then that's when I don't think you. Let me say this. I'm not an expert on all the union rules, but your first hire you don't have to join, but your second hire you have to join.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes, so you heard it from Tony Winter. He gave us a breakdown, okay? So I hope everybody took notes. This is great. So now, on to the good stuff where you had to have the grit and the perseverance. Just tell us one time that you can remember or a season in your life, or you can just round it up to just, you know, all of them up together. Like, what advice would you give people that, you know, listen, if this is for you, you're going to keep pressing through. Like, let's start off with that.
Well, I'd say that
I mean, what was it like for you? Like, I mean, when you had challenging times, I mean, like, give us an example of how you went through.
I was trying to figure out which challenging time I should share, but I'll tell you this. I got divorced in 2013. And I'm sorry, 2012. And it was a very, very dark time for me. I was selling my house, you know, my ex-wife and my child were living apart from me. And I was gaining weight. My career was not, I wasn't booking anything. I was in a very, very dark place. And a friend of mine suggested that I do a one-man show. And because I couldn't seem to find any work. So I looked around for a piece to do. I was going to write it myself, and then I just couldn't come up with anything. Then I remembered a friend of mine had done a piece called The Devil and Billy Markham. And I said, and then I remembered I bought the script, and it was in my closet after I saw my friend do it, and must have been around 1990. And so I went and bought the script. Well, I had the script, and I started learning it, you know, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph. And it's a series of like six monologues that are like 10 or 15 minutes long. And my son would come over on the weekends, and I'd hand him the script, and I'd say, son, let's see if I know this piece right here. And I'd go through it word for word. And then as I got around finishing the fifth monologue, I said, you know, I think I could actually do this in front of people. So I found a director,
so cool.
Cy Richardson, and Cy and I went to work, and I opened my show in February of 2014 at Theater, and I ran it for a month, and it really just changed my life and how I looked at things. I kind of thought my career was over. I had lost my agent. I lost my agent. I said, well, you know, I had a pretty good run. Maybe it's over. And I found a new agent, and I found a new manager. Because my agent had dropped me, who represented me for both theatrical and commercial representation. And this manager just reconfigured my whole career. He found me a new theatrical agent, found me a new commercial agent, found me here was the big, I wanted to cast my net wider. I wanted to work outside of Los Angeles. So he even found me an agent in the Southeast to represent me for productions in, say, Georgia and New Orleans. And I told him, I said, I only want to do A-list projects going forward. I don't want to do any BS. You know, it's getting to be about legacy now. And the first project he sent me was an audition for a movie called Thank You for Your Service. And it said in the audition notes, A-list project. It starred Miles Teller.
Wow.
And it was the biggest role I had ever been considered for.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you, what was your biggest role? You rolling right on in it. Go ahead, talk about it.
Okay. It was the biggest thing I'd ever been considered for in a feature film. And they asked for a self-tape. Now, at that time, I had no idea. I'm talking 2016, I guess. I had no, 2016, I think. I had no idea what a self-tape was, you know, because my career had been traditionally walking into casting offices, you know, auditioning and walking out. I had never had to produce my own tape before. So I had props, I had furniture, you know, I didn't know what the hell it was. So I sent it in, and he ripped me a new one. You know, up and down, talking about how terrible my tape was. Well, guess what? They still wanted to see Tony Winch's in Atlanta. So, and he had assured me that I would never have to do any callbacks. You know, they hired me straight from the tape. But anyway, I had a callback on my first audition. So he said, I had to fly to Atlanta on my own dime. So I fly to Atlanta because this was a really big part in the film. And I auditioned. I had a great audition. Came back. A couple weeks later, they called me and said, Tony, we got good news and bad news. I said, well, what's the good news? He said, well, they want you for Thank You for Your Service. I said, well, what's the bad news? They said, well, the part you auditioned for was written out. I said, well, what are they wanting for? They said, the cab driver. I said, dude, I did not fly all the way to Atlanta to be the doggone cab driver. I use different language.
Thank you for watching your language on this Christian show.
Yeah. I said, man, I just followed Tony. to be the doggone cab driver. They said, I'm going to pass on this. He said, no. You can't pass on this. This is written by Jason Hall. He was an Academy Award nominated screenwriter. It's going to be a big movie. Stars Miles Teller. You got to do it. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So I fly to Atlanta again, second trip on my dime. and I shoot my first scene, and the day's starting to wind down. I'm like, yo, so when are we going to get to the second scene? They said, oh, we're going to do that in a couple weeks. You got to come back.
Oh, okay. On your own dime, too,
On my own dime again. So, because you're a local hire, you know,
right,
on this particular project. So I fly back to Detroit. I fly back to L.A., and then I fly back to Atlanta. I shoot that third scene and complete work on the movie, and, you know, that's that. And then a couple weeks later, that same casting director wants to see a self-tape for NCIS New Orleans. And really sweet guest star role, which I don't get. So, okay. Then she calls a couple weeks later. She wants to see me again for NCIS New Orleans. A nice guest star, but not as big, but it was good enough. They had me interested. So
I booked it. NCIS New Orleans, y'all. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Go ahead now, Tony. Talk about it. I wish I had more time, but go ahead. Talk about this, and then we're going to wrap it up. But go ahead.
So I fly to New Orleans and I shoot. I'm shooting NCIS New Orleans, and I get a call from my Southeast agent. He says, "Hey, they want to see you for a recurring role on Queen Sugar." I had no idea what Sugar was. So while I'm there in New Orleans, I take an Uber over to the studio and I read this little scene, and I said, this could turn into something. And it turned into, like I said, a recurring role. Character Clive, and I worked with Ava DuVernay and all these wonderful artists, Tina Lifford and Kofi Cerebo, and it just really turned my career around.
That's Queen what I was Sugar, about. Y'all, on OWN. Y'all know what it is. Okay, go. I love stories like this. This is so inspirational. You have literally, and then of course with everything else that I said that you sent me over that I've seen you in with the Young Sheldon and the Yellow Jackets and all of these other amazing shows. When you just look back through your life though, Tony, aren't you in awe of it all? Like, to me, I just feel like your steps were just truly ordered by God, honestly. I don't know where your faith is, but I know that when you are purposed to do something, you just walk through it, even through the hard times. And, you know, you only shared one that had so much in it. You still woke up and said, you know what? I have hope. Let's try this. You know what I'm saying? With your one-man show. And then from there, and the consistency of that, then you got a whole new team. And then look at what the doors open for you. I just love it. I'm so glad that you came on Dr. Gina's radio chat. What did you want to share with? Go ahead.
No, I'll just say this. It's been my pleasure. I don't do a lot of interviews, but it's been my pleasure, Dr. Gina.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I don't care. Whatever you got going on, you are more than welcome to come and share. You are a family member to the show. I call you family. And because I love your transparency, and it was so easy, and it was just so inspirational. And it's just your energy is just so positive. Even when you're, you know, given the straightforward instructions and what we should do, and just even in your, you know, difficult times, and just, you know, being transparent on how you had to rearrange and reinvent and all of that. It's just favor on you, man. That's God's hand is on you, you know? So what's up next? Tell everybody what's up next before, and then we'll tell everybody where they can follow you and stuff. What's next for you, Tony Winters?
Well, you know, I got a couple of projects in the can, but I'll just cut to the big one. November 14th, you were asking about the biggest part I ever got. Well, I just shot it a couple of months ago. It's a film called National Champions. It stars Oscar Award winner J.K. Simmons and three-time Emmy Award winner Uzo Aduba and a wonderful young actor named Stephon James. In it, it's called, again, it's National Champions. It takes place on the eve of the football national championship, the college football national championship. And Stephon James plays the quarterback of one of the football teams. J.K. Simmons plays his coach. And Stephon's character organizes a strike amongst the players.
Wow.
For pay, for pay for the game, and refuse to play until, you know, they're compensated. And I play one of the heads of the NCAA, and I'm brought in to help, you know, quell the strike. And it's the biggest part I ever got, the highest level of talent I ever worked with. I got more scenes in this than any other film I've ever been in. And it's just, I felt absolutely ready to do this. When I was on the set with,
wow,
you know, a man, Oscar sitting on his mantle, or the woman with three Emmys, I felt no way intimidated, because I've been doing this for 35, 40 years. And each role has prepared me for this in one way or another.
For that, this.
So National Champions, November 24th, Thanksgiving weekend. Please go out and see it. Please support it. And that's what's cracking.
Well, I'm excited about it, because what's so funny about it, my son plays football, and I've been watching these football shows on Netflix, like American something. I can't remember the Sunday American Sunday, something like that. And then another football series. So I don't know what God is doing with that. So that's why it's so funny that you're talking about a football show that you're in. I'll be ready, and I'll be watching that with my son. So I'm going to remind everybody as well, closer to the date, that they need to tune in as well. So I'm so excited for you, Tony. You deserve every bit of it. You put in that work. You have been diligent and consistent. You just walked your way through it. You kicked down doors. You sat down a couple of times, but you got back on up. You know what I'm saying? And that's all that matters. You got back up. Come on, somebody. Tell everybody where they can follow you.
I'm on Facebook, Tony Winters. I'm on IG at Pretty Tony Winters. And I'm on Twitter at Tony Winters 128.
Fantastic. I want you to do a radio drop for me. Doug is going to tell you what you need to do. Will you do it for me?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to shift gears. Thank you, Tony Winters, for joining us today on the show. You were absolutely amazing. Like I said, you're family. You can come join me anytime and talk about whatever you got going on. I'd love to have you. I love you so much. Your personality is outstanding. It is so amazing. You just got a good personality. Anyway, yeah, so Doug, take it away. Tony, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dr. Gina. Talk soon.
All right, hold on. Doug's going to get you. All right, and now we're getting ready to go right into Fitness in 5 with Amando from Sweden. Come on, Amando.
Hello, good afternoon. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi.
You're going to close the show with me today. What you got for us today, Amando?
Okay, so today's topic, Dr. Gina, we're going to talk about is the link between our nutrition and mental health. The reason why I decided to pick this topic, of course, is close to me. Like I told you in the previous show, 5 years ago when I discovered my mom had type 2 diabetes, it's quite big in my family. So as a trainer, I started to take my nutrition quite seriously. So, you know, working on your diet, especially my nutrition, like I eat mostly my carbs from fruits and vegetables. Like before, I used to eat a lot of rice, which is very big in my culture, the Caribbean culture. But if you think about it, rice is loaded with a lot of high starch, which leads to water retention. This is because of the refined carbs. It causes like rapid spikes in our, you know, blood sugar levels, which causes the body to retain more sodium, which leads to more buildup of fluid in the body, right? So if you ever notice, every time you eat something, you know, very sugary, you get like mood swings or you get anxiety. it's because of the sugar that you're consuming. You get that dopamine rush, which is rushed directly to the brain. And this is why it's important to limit our sugar consumption, right? One of the most like under-recognized developments in mental health is the fact that most of us, we have quite restrictive diets, or we're not eating a balanced diet. And it's really important to work on the quality of the foods that we're eating. For example, like not eating too much processed foods. We should eat more fresh foods. Try to get your foods that contains more vitamin and minerals. And also watching how many calories we're consuming. And the quantity of the foods that we're eating as well. What the timing is, or the motivation behind the different kind of foods that we eat. Are we eating when we're hungry, or are we eating when we're sad, or are we eating because we're depressed? Or, you know, we have to look at all these different factors that plays into our mental health when it comes to our nutrition. So the reason why, for example, we should also try to limit our alcohol consumption is because, of course, alcohol, it works as an depressant effect, and that can, you know, affect our moods in a very, very bad way. Especially like our sleep patterns, which reduces our energy levels. It depresses our central nervous systems, you know, which fluctuates our moods. So it kind of like numbs our emotions. So this is why people that consume a lot of alcohol, they experience a lot of mental health issues. Some people drink alcohol for social anxiety, you know, like all these different things. So it's super, super important to drink alcohol at a minimum level. For example, one of the things that we also need to pay attention to is what we're doing to our intestines. Our intestines and our brain produces serotonin, right? So serotonin is our hormone that stabilizes our mood, our feelings, our well-being, and happiness. So people sometimes, they call it the happy chemical. This is super important to have to protect our gut microbiomes by eating foods to increase our serotonin levels. The foods that we can eat is like eggs, cheese, like nuts, almonds, tofu, or even pineapple. So a lot of you probably wondering, so how do you protect your mental health? Well, first off, it starts with feeding the brain with good nutrition, you know, with the sufficient amount of complex carbs. Complex carbs are oatmeal, sweet potatoes, whole wheat bread, eating essential fats like salmon, avocados, walnut, chia seeds, and drinking, of course, enough water to support a healthy brain. And, of course, eating a lot of green foods to give us the energy that we need. Because it shows that, of course, nutrition protects the quality, and by having a good quality of nutrition improves your life on so many different factors. So that was the segment for today. I had to skip through a lot of stuff that I wrote, but I'm very, very happy. And just to let everybody know that you can definitely work on your nutrition one meal at a time. If you're experiencing any health issues, please go to your doctor first before you're starting any diet, because diets are quite restrictive, and nutrition is one of the most important things that a lot of us need to work on, as we're in a very high sensitive time right now in the pandemic. So that was my segment for today. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next segment. My name is Amado.
Where can they follow you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Amado All Day, and Facebook as well at Amado All Day.
All right. You heard it from Amado. I think that was amazing advice. You know what? We want you to live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. We are loving you guys. Until next time, bye-bye. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.